If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, Sean Luke.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager. Captain Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager. Captain Captain.
Welcome. The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys just a little bit embarrassed about having a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison, dreading this one.
Why are you dreading this? Well, you love these.
I do. I mean, I think that it's funny that we've done this to ourselves.
I take no responsibility for this. This is the game board.
The game board has, yeah, but we signed up for the game board and then the game board fucks us over from time to time.
Yeah.
I've been trying to, after the holidays, like watch what I'm eating.
Sure.
Dial back the drinky drinks a little bit.
Yeah, a little peek behind the pod. We just started January.
Yeah.
Just got out of the holidays.
This is the first Greatest Gen we're recording of the year.
First Greatest Gen we've recorded in weeks after a long break. Getting back on the pod horse in a big time way today.
I mean, it's a double barrel episode, and last time...
Didn't even mention that.
Last time we got together, I think it was my role, and we did hit the Mournhammered Square on the board, so...
Yeah.
We are going to be doing a power hour today. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm a bit of a cheap date right now, because for, like, weeks and weeks, I've been drinking barely at all.
How is that possible? Like... You didn't drink barely at all during the holidays?
Well, so...
You must have had great holidays, Finn.
Mid-December, I started having... I don't know if indigestion... Is indigestion and heartburn the same thing? I'm 40. I should know these things.
Yeah, you're going to want to know what those symptoms are when you take them to a doctor.
I'm having the kind of heartburn that like keeps me up at night because it's like painful when I'm like lying down. And so I'm like... I basically have found that if I don't eat spicy food and I don't drink, those symptoms go away. So
yeah, but what kind of life do you have at that point?
Exactly. Like, so basically since Hanukkah, I've been on the bland, no booze diet.
I mean, one of those was an essential quality to a Jewish holiday, right? Oh, coming in hot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that my tea is probably a little bit lower than it was before the holidays, you know?
I'm shocked to hear this. I thought you'd be having self-defense beverages and spicy food the whole way through.
Yeah. Sadly, it's the opposite. I've been doing okay, so we'll see. I mean, this is actually a good experiment. Does drinking a totally irresponsible amount of drinks in one sitting get me back into the bad place, W/R/T, my esophagus?
Yeah, we're going to need your throat in good shape for the years ahead, Ben. I'm saying this not only as your friend, but as your business partner
right, in this thing.
We must preserve that voice.
Ever since last week's very early recorded show where my voice was super deep, people have been calling me the other throat goat. And and I want to keep that moniker, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... I might even lose the other. It's cleaner that way.
Oh, okay. You think I've unseated Nancy Reagan?
Just say no.
Yeah, I like that for you.
Wow. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Ben. I have been drinking throughout the holidays. And I sort of have approached this episode from the opposite direction. Like, I was looking forward to taking it easy in January with the consumption and all the rest. I can't seem to take a break. I've had out-of-town friends come in before, during, and after the holidays. I've got more coming the weekend after this one. I don't know when I'll be taking a break in all the ways that I probably need one.
Yeah.
Break from the show? Great. Break from everything else? Did not happen. So that's where I'm at.
Wow.
With this supersized episode.
Yeah. So this is, I don't think I realized when we were talking about this episode last week that this is a two-parter. It's listed as episodes 9 and 10, but then it just plays as a full hour and 25 minutes of Star Trek.
We did that classic thing. We thought we were doing one episode, and then the realization hit us that this is actually two episodes, really.
Yeah.
A fact that Windy did warn us about weeks ago.
I can't remember things.
I can't either. You know, the part of Greatest Gen where we're both not just early 40s, but like mid to late 40s. That's going to be a trip.
All we're missing is the ocean breeze coming off the Gulf.
I forgot to go to the grocery store on my lunch break yesterday. And my wife came home and said, "You didn't go to the grocery store?" And I was like, "Have you met me? I don't remember to do stuff that I need to do."
Yeah, I haven't remembered anything in 15 years. I live a list-based lifestyle. I've outsourced all my memories.
I think I'm going to start this one off right with a couple of Broads, Adam.
Oh, good call. As ever, our thanks to the Broad Electrolyte Vitamin Company, a company that exists only to serve us and the FODs that we hip to their offer codes. Mm.
Okay, let's see. How are we going to do the timer on this? I guess we just do it on our system because we're recording remote today.
I can agree to honor system drinking. I've committed myself to drinking very hard. I've got a regulation size shot glass here, straight from Super Bowl XLV III.
That was one of the great ones.
And the first alcohol I will be opening for this purpose is from the Boss Meadery.
Oh, shoot!
I am going to do my power hour with cherry hammer-smashed Boss Meadery mead, this straight from Madison, Wisconsin.
I also chilled down my bottle of Boss Mead hammer-smashed cherry. I'm a little bit scared, but because I've never really done a mead-based power hour, but I mean,
I don't think anyone has.
This may be a first. We're making history today, live on videotape.
Hey, let's do this first shot together. Oh, look at this color.
It's beautiful.
It's very pleasant.
It's a beautiful rosy color. I'm going to take a picture of this for the FODs.
Pretty nice. It smells like cherry vinegar, which I think is what mead should smell and taste like.
Yeah. Okay. We're just setting a 1 hour timer, right? So it's a shot a minute for 60 minutes.
Oh yeah, let's synchronize the 1 hour timer.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Once we start, we're gonna hit this shot, and then we're gonna come back with Star Trek Voyager Season 7, Episode 9 and 10, Flesh and Blood. 3, 2, 1, start.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
Hey, pretty good.
I like Boss Mead. It's good.
Oh, I wish I had more bottles of this.
So we've got some Banes, and they're hunting in the woods. And they're sort of a, we know how these guys work. There's the Alpha and the Betas. And the Beta seems like he's kind of a teen. He's like a teen Bane.
Teen Bane. Yeah, I like that. He's gentle. He's like the kid who does not want to shoot the deer, you know?
Yeah, like this is the first time I feel like we've seen any Hirogen that aren't battle-hardened. And
yeah,
I like the kind of expanding Hirogen cinematic universe.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear whether or not it's father-son or student-master or whatever, but it's definitely born to get hard and born to get soft is what we got here.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy hasn't wrestled his trembles into rages as yet.
No.
And they're hunting something. This guy, the younger one, Teen Bane, can't get a fix on how many people they're hunting. But instinct tells his older companion that it's 4, maybe 5. This is fun cinematography. They're, you know, the camera's kind of swinging and floating around in this Sears Garden Center.
They're tracking and tracing through the jungle, and I think it's Student Bane gestures to Master Bane, no water? And Master Bane is like, wait till you see the pond. And then up from this pond rises wet Starfleet. And they absolutely unload on these two guys.
These two Banes get executed by Simon Tarsus.
I think we found the man.
I could not help but laugh at how many shots go into these Banes.
It's insane. Like, we cut to the wide shot on the Banes. We usually reserve that for ships, but...
You remember when RoboCop is executed in the factory?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, 4 cackling gang members, like, reloading their weapons to kill RoboCop. It's a lot.
It sure is, and... Yeah, these guys go down hard. They're fucking dead, man. These were not phasers set to stun.
RSVP, Master Bane, and Student Bane.
So that's our cold open. And when we come back from theme, the first scene is in Six Bay, where Chakotay is hearing out Dr. Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
On a request for a leave of absence. He wants to go to a conference, and that just seems too dangerous to Chakotay.
In the Star Trek context, you absolutely don't want to grant conference privileges to anyone at any time. It's too dangerous. But in the, I'm working a job and I kind of need a break, but I'm not going to ask for vacation. Instead, I'm going to ask for a conference sort of context.
Yeah.
This is something I've done before.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to.
My wife has been in government service for most of her legal career, so there hasn't been a lot of, like, that sort of paid vacation-esque trip to a continuing legal education conference, but
sure,
she's got her eyes on one in New Orleans next year, and I'm like, ooh, baby, let that New Orleans trip happen.
The doctor does try to spin it as a thing that's good for everyone and not just him, but he does such a poor job of it that Chakotay is just not game.
I'm sorry, doctor. It's just not practical.
You can tell at the end of this scene that, like, that's just fucking it for Dr. Mark. He's done with these motherfuckers.
I did not see this last straw coming. I don't think anyone did.
I mean, like, I love the discussion of, like, whether it's even practical. Like, what do you want us to do? Park here while you go back 2 weeks and attend this conference? Like, that's insane.
This is the part that hurts. Like, Chakotay basically restates the request in terms that would affect the entire ship and describe what the ship would have to do in a way that's pretty hurtful.
Yeah, it's just too much to ask. It's not practical. So it is in the middle of the big city turndown that they get called from the bridge that they're receiving a Hirogen distress call. And that's going to be something that Chakotay needs to go look into. So we'll finish this later, but it's a no.
What did you understand the Hirogen relationship to be at this point? Because I thought it was, like, good.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think this would be dangerous to respond to this distress call at this moment, right?
Right. They kind of paid for their freedom from Hirogen harassment Which is weird because that's vocal warm-up we both do before we get on the show. Freedom from Hirogen harassment, freedom from Hirogen harassment. At the end of that two-parter where the Hirogens were Nazis and stuff. So yeah, like they're responding to the distress call by going to the aid of the Hirogen that sent it. And this is great for Chakotay. He gets to do an away mission. They beam over there and it's like it's a Hirogen like training facility space station. So they beam over into a Sears Garden Center environment and they split up and Tuvok finds corpses. Seven finds a Batleth. That Batleth kind of made it look like the tree was bleeding, but then they say it's Hirogen blood and they're like, God, I didn't know that they could look this much like trees. What a cunning hunting technique they've adapted.
Great moment. Yeah, I love how the Dustbuster Club arrives in a place they know to be a space station and yet appears to be a jungle area, and this doesn't bump them at all.
It doesn't seem like a move that the Hirogen would pull. Like, let's grow a lush jungle inside of a space station. Doesn't seem
it
like...
It seems very unusual, yeah.
Yeah, a thing a hunter species would get up to.
Sure. They pick up a lone survivor on a tricorder, and this survivor starts shooting. And no amount of yelling by the Dustbuster Club gets through to this guy, that they're there to help.
Yeah.
They're not trying to fight him. This guy's yelling at them to stay away. And Tuvok does that thing where he peels off and goes around to the back and just neck pinches this guy to the ground.
Flanking neck pinch. I love it.
I got a question for you. Is this Hirogen naked?
Oh, so his clothing does have a texture that's really similar to his loaf, but I do think he's wearing a shirt and pants combination.
Really?
Because he's not like hanging dong or anything.
This is like what would happen if you or I wore like light beige colored shirt and underwear, like it would read kind of nude.
Right. Like if you ever see a lady like wearing yoga pants that are too close in tone to her own skin color, it's like it's distracting.
All right, I'm just gonna say it. I might have had a half a bottle of meat in me. I think that's confusing. And I prefer different colors than those. If you're asking what my opinion is, I would prefer to be confronted by people who don't look naked in the street. That's all I'm saying.
So you think that this band should select a different yoga attire?
Oh, no. Now it makes it sound like, oh, no. It's the mead talking, Ben. Mm.
You always blame it on the mead. So we are 10 minutes into this power hour, and I think I'm pouring my last shot of mead.
Oh, geez. I think I've missed a couple. I'm down to, I think, three more.
Okay.
If I were to count. I'm gonna quickly slug these back. I really want to be on your level. Have I told you what's going on at my house?
That would make you want to be on my level? No.
So, my wife double-striped for COVID this morning. Which means I'm living in the studio, man.
Oh, no. Whoa, Adam.
I'm living here. Oh, day one.
The day that you're most needed to prepare soup and provide.
Yeah.
Oh, but she doesn't want comfort when she's
you
sick.
Know what? Good job by you remembering that trivia about my wife. Yeah, she does not want doting. And so I am out here.
She's a no dote.
Not doting.
She's a never dote.
Yeah, she truly is. Hey, you gotta wait for me to finish this bottle, man. I got several more shots to do.
Hey, our thanks to the kind folks at the Boss Meadery for getting this power hour off to the right start. But like, what are you putting in it that makes Adam talk like this?
Yeah, I hope they're taking this as a commercial and not a thing that destroys their company. I do like this mead quite a bit.
I would drink again, for sure.
Yeah. Our course is locked in. Do it. Listen to me very carefully, because I'm only going to say this once.
So this neck pinch earns this guy a trip to the ER. The rest of the away team, still in this environment, like pushes some vines aside on a screen that's got L cars on it. What the fuck?
They hit a couple buttons on this thing, and the environment goes away. I love this effect.
So good.
Because it just reveals the one big room that this starbase is, and all of the dead Hirogens on the floor.
It's a holodome. It's a hollow ship. They should park it under a lake.
Dead Hirogens on the floor. Dead Hirogens on the floor. Dead Hirogens on the floor!
Perhaps the single most foolish thing I've ever done on this show, Adam, my remaining cans to finish out the Power Hour are apple cider. So I'm doing a mead/cider Power Hour.
I'm down to my last shot of mead. Definitely happy I started out that way. Unclear whether I will appreciate what I'm going to next. What I have are two 16-ounce cans sent in by viewers.
Oh, shoot.
We've always said it. The most dangerous thing a podcast host can do is drink what has been sent to them. Ben, I've got two cans from the Bald Man Brewing Company.
Okay.
What I have is the Rocktoberfest Märzen Lager. That's this one I'm showing you and the viewers.
Wow.
And I've got Hot Summer Nights Blonde Ale. It's raspberry lemon blonde ale. And I wonder which one I should start and end with.
Oh, man. I couldn't tell you.
I kind of feel like I want to have the Märzen Lager and then end with the fruit.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Is that enough? Two 16-ouncers after the 500-mil bottle? Is that going to get us there?
I'm not doing math for you, man.
All right. Well, I'll do my best. I've got Warm Spotted Cow not far from me. If that's where it goes, that's what I deserve.
So, there's 43 dead Banes, and they were all killed with A-Quad-style weps.
We gotta have weps. He's the key.
Boy, this is just very disturbing to Janeway. She has a walk and talk with Chakotay where, you know, it's a, you know, this is why you don't give away technology. You don't know what people are going to do with it. They had holodeck stuff, but they turned off all the safeties and they modified it. It was no good.
You know, what's an unusual quality to this episode is how it takes a long, long time for Voyager to feel in danger from any of this. This doesn't seem like a threat to them.
No.
This seems like a mystery to solve, you know?
Yeah. We're still in mystery mode, and their next stop is Six Bay, where this Bane refuses to be treated by the doctor because the doctor is a hollow, and he doesn't believe that Janeway and Chakotay are not also hollows.
This is a great scene. He's throwing pots and pans around. He's like, I'm surrounded by hollows. And Janeway's like, no, you're not. And then he wings a bedpan at the doctor and it flies right through him. And he's like, ha! I knew it!
Then how do you explain that?
Great comedy moment there.
Good stuff. So they ask the doctor if he would do them the kindness of turning himself off for a while. And they're like, hey, like, sorry you're so afraid of hollows. I'm Catherine Janeway, we rescued you from that thing. And he's like, whoa, you're Janeway? I've been meaning to talk to you.
This is Voyager. Looks like our reputation preceded us.
I have some notes.
Yeah. So this guy, this wimpy Hirogen guy, he hates holograms because he was the last one standing. He was a technician at their training facility, got overrun by enraged holograms, and all the safety protocols got turned off, and that's how everybody got killed.
Look at all this head on my shot.
Oh, wow. I don't have any head on my, I guess, because cider doesn't really do head.
No. I'm reminded of that video from the bar rescue guy teaching us how to pour a beer properly.
Oh, right. You got to put it at an angle, right?
I can't do that with a shot glass.
Yeah, but
you can't do it Because you're not pouring enough.
Bar science teaches you that the head on a beer releases enough carbon dioxide that you won't burp after drinking it.
Is that what's going on?
That was the point of his video. He's like, you actually do want to glug, 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 glug it into the glass. You want a big frothy head because all of that head is going to be in the glass instead of in your tum-tum.
Yeah.
Making you burp.
I mean, this is a burp-based show, so I don't think we're going to be able to avoid that here.
This is, yet again, a fucking project for Windy.
I'm so sorry, Windy. We're 18 minutes into this power hour as of this moment. Fuck.
You know what? Windy is going to Sketchfest. All the drinks on us. She's not buying a single drink at Sketchfest.
Yeah, your money's no good in San Francisco, Windy. Where are we? Oh, so they get set upon by other Banes that have been replying to this this distress signal. And they just roll in shooting.
Yeah.
Which I guess is because they make the assumption that, like, okay, here's one of our things and here's somebody else. We'll assume that the somebody else was attacking our thing and just attack them.
Right. The distress is coming from outside the station.
Right. And so Janeway gets on the phone. She's like, hey, guys, what the fuck? We're trying to help your guys.
Yeah.
And in typical Bane, you know, surliness, they're like, just give us our people and go.
Was it surprising to you how much of a strategic mismatch a Bane's ship was for Voyager? It seems as though it was just Janeway's choice to disable them whenever she wanted.
Yeah, well, this one seems like it's a much littler Bane ship than some of the ones later in the episode. So maybe it's just a pound just a for pound. Yeah, we've got teen Banes, we got baby Banes, we've got all different kinds of Banes.
They got a baby Bane, baby Bane, baby Bane, baby Bane.
Chili's baby back Bane.
Roll that around your mouth. That's fun, ain't it?
Finally, I mean, this is what happens, right? You're more up for diplomacy once your weapons are destroyed. So they decide to answer the FaceTime at that point.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, hey, I'm responding to the distress call. I want the survivor you've got.
Return him now.
He's in no condition to be transported.
I love an embarrassed Bane captain, you know? Like, this is definitely like a humiliating circumstance for this guy to be in. And he's like also humiliated by the technician that they have in the sick bay. Like, he's like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're making us look really bad here. And he's like, I'm not a hunter. I'm not like you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy, like, the disparity between them is so apparent here. Because these Banes are invited into the sick bay to visit with this Hirogen they got in there. And no one is happy with the way this guy acted in the face of danger back on that station.
Yeah. And he hasn't even told them the worst part yet.
Yeah, the worst part is that the holograms that were on the station transferred their programs to a ship with holo-emitters, and they got the fuck out of there.
They're gone, baby, gone.
This was exactly the moment in the episode where I thought, how much I missed Giant Hirogen.
I know.
Giant Hirogen, a quality to the first episode where we had Hirogen, and never again.
I want them to like be bumping their head on the door jams and stuff.
I want all Hirogen to be 10 feet tall.
What are they doing? Are there just not enough really, really big guys in Hollywood?
I want arms and legs hanging off of bio beds. When you bring these guys over to Voyager, they just don't look right.
They don't look right. Like, they should all be NBA players, basically.
Yeah. They should all be retired NBA players specifically.
Yeah, that would be great.
The healthy ones should keep playing, Ben. I don't know what you're advocating for.
I mean, like, take a couple of pipes to a couple of knees and you got more actors to play Banes is what I'm advocating for.
How dare you? Hard pipe-hitting NBA players? This is what you want? Very troubling.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, now that you put it that way, I feel bad about saying it.
I've got to get that
platinum. Put your platinum where your mouth is.
I've got to get that
Latinum.
Mother's Day is coming up, and one of the best gifts you can give a mom that you might share a bed with is doing some yard work. Some yard work downstairs, if you know what I mean. With Manscaped. This season, make sure you groom your carpets and your drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants to let the mother of your children know how much you appreciate her continuing to put up with you. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it. And that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times. And it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them. And that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com and use the code SCARVS at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Over in the ass lab, they collectively chart the course of this prey ship, I think we could call it. And Janeway wants to participate in this hunt. She's just as curious as these Hirogen are about what the deal is with these Hollows. And she convinces the lead guy that they should come with.
I think she should be more curious why 7 of 9 towers over the Banes just as much as the original Banes towered over everyone.
Right. It doesn't look right at all. I don't like it.
It looks bad.
Here's the hierarchy for me. Unexpected Hirogen height, flesh-colored tights.
Wow. Okay. So you've really made your needs felt. I mean, this is a bit about like how good the Hirogen are at tracking people that don't want to be tracked also.
Right.
So they agree to hunt together. Two ships are better than one.
I love how in front of people, Janeway makes a command decision. And then in the very next scene in the ready room, Chakotay and Tuvok are like, I don't like that command decision you just made. And here's why.
There is a great camera move at the beginning of this scene. There's kind of that curved lucite in Janeway's ready room. And the establishing shot is of a reflection of Janeway in that lucite with the door behind it and Tuvok and Chakotay coming in. And Janeway looks all warped and weird in the reflection. And when they...
Like she was grown in weird dirt?
Yeah, something like that. Chakotay and Tuvok come in and they're like, hey, so we've got something we want to talk to you about. Tuvok, you go first. And Tuvok says, we have reservations about an alliance with the Hunters. And Chakotay is like, did you have to put it that way, Tuvok? I'm standing right here.
Oh. Janeway has a real hollows don't kill people, people who program hollows kill people argument here. And that basically ends the argument in this scene. What she says goes.
Yeah, she gave the Banes the technology to do this. She feels like it's their mess, partly to help clean up. So off they are going to go. And it is not long before they are pulling up on this ship with the hologram people living on it. And it does not seem to be in great shape. We don't get like a close-up of it, but it sort of seems like mist is coming out of it.
Yeah, it looks in bad shape. It looks in such bad shape that the Hirogen are like, oh, this is going to be a great and easy kill. We're going right in there. But what unfolds on the view screen is something else completely.
Yeah.
Something's not right about this ship. It's got no warp core. It's got no weapons. It's got no signs of hollow life.
You got to have weps.
It's a fake. Boom goes the decoy, and it really fucks up this Hirogen ship.
Yeah. They get knocked, and there's like explosions aboard. Their life support is failing. So the Voyager drops shields and starts beaming over the survivors of this attack. And just then, the actual hollow ship drops out of warp and starts licking shots at them. And it's this like tense ass moment where they're like, we can't put the shields back up because we're still beaming survivors.
Do you feel like this is an unfortunate moment of like great strategy that is never done again? Like this moment is like, oh, these guys are good.
MO is that they're good.
And I sort of expected, at least with their ship, more of this.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, it's a classic terrorist move, right? Like the like small explosion in the bazaar, and then when the emergency crews show up, the much bigger one goes off.
Sure.
Yeah, like you kind of want the bad guys, the Hollows, to be like master tacticians for the rest of this. And yeah. I feel like they get less and less savvy tactically as they go.
You know who's feeling less and less well? Me.
Are you? You didn't double stripe, right? Like you tested too?
I tested this morning, but I've been feeling progressively worse throughout the day. I did not test before the show because
Jesus,
it's too late, man. We're on the launch pad. We got to go. Also, I want to say this. I think beer has more bubbles than mead in my experiment, in a way that is not the direction I want to be going.
Yeah.
I want to be going in a less burbly direction.
Maybe we should have finished with the mead.
What we should have had is more bottles of mead.
We should have had more bottles of mead.
Yeah.
This should have been the mead power hour.
I know.
Instead, it's a mess.
Instead, it's a mead power 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So during this attack, it's clear that the Hollow ship is trying to steal Dr. Mark. And they do. There's this great scene where Paris tosses Dr. Mark his mobile emitter in order to like transfer himself into it so he couldn't be stealable.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
It's too late. They got him.
Like so many bedpans have gone through him this very episode. That hollow emitter goes through his hand and he's gone.
And he shows up on the other ship and it is a Bane ship that is full of kind of a little bit of everyone. There's a Borgs in the foreground. There's a Bajoran greeting him. Simon Tarsis is there. I noticed a Jem'Hadar. There's Roms. There's Klingons. There's Cardassians.
To CSI Miami this moment, Ben, I guess Dr. Mark is going to a different conference now. It's great. It's like Star Trek turned over the costume and loaf toy box,
yeah,
and everyone gets to wear one. It's great.
It's really fun. So he starts kind of protesting, like, you got the wrong man. Like, you, like, they're like, hey, so we need a doctor, fix all of these like glitchy hollows. And he's like, that's not what I do. I work on flesh and blood problems. You need a fucking engineer, you idiots.
Yeah, they're nothing alike, the medical doctoring and the engineering. He can't do both.
No.
But he's invited to their infirmary to work on their wounded.
Yeah. They're like, surely you've like repaired yourself a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I mean, a little bit. I dabble, but I'm not like Bolana Torres or anything.
Sure. We don't get to conclude this moment before we're back over to Voyager, where Donick is the guy's name.
Yeah.
The
wimpy Bane, the tech Bane. And this is kind of a strategy session with him and Seven and BLT and the captain. They're standing in engineering, like talking about like, how do we even attack this hollow ship? And they're pretty fucked because like the hollow emitter, the thing that would be the thing they want to attack the most is like the most heavily shielded part of the ship. And Donick also admits in this moment that he is the one that augmented the hollows to be like a more cunning type of prey.
Donick has the perfect excuse. One that's worked for time immemorial, Ben. I was just following orders.
This is what they asked me to do. And they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that's it. Okay, that's fine.
Hey, we're not mad at you.
No. We cut over to the mess hall. If you're Neelix, are you upset at all that this keeps happening to your mess hall? Mess Hall S Field Hospital is happening again.
I like that there's still a bowl of, like, you know, garlic and ginger in the window there. Like they haven't put all the food away when there's a bunch of bleeding, battle wounded lying around on cots in there.
If there's one scene where you really want the size disparity of the Hirogen, it's this. Like,
oh, yeah.
What if you could only fit 4 Hirogen in the mess hall?
Yeah, this is, we had to bring them in here. There's not enough room in 6 Bay, given how big these freaks are.
Would have been great.
Yeah. So the kind of lieutenant of the Alpha Bane that we've been dealing with comes to, despite all of the burger all over his face, and he's like disoriented and is asking what he's doing here, and Janeway and Paris come in and explain, like, oh yeah, like your ship doesn't exist anymore. We beamed you out, and you're the Alpha now, dog.
And new Alpha doesn't like the plan on the table. The plan that Janeway has hatched is like, yeah, we're not going to hunt these guys. We're just going to go to where they are and kind of unplug them.
Yeah.
So that they're not a threat anymore.
Because he's got a real ideology about this. Like, if you're just turning them off, that's unsportsmanlike in his worldview.
Sure.
He really wants to treat them like prey and not like machines. And I really like that. I like that they needed to like come up with a conceptual framework in which they like respected the thing that they're hunting.
Yeah.
In this fucked up way. And so he does, so he can't go back now. Like, that's a Rubicon you can't uncross if you're a Bane.
I know you don't want to do it.
Do it. Coffee black.
Make it yourself.
I'm trying to help you see this as an opportunity to grow.
Make it yourself.
I love when Kate Mulgrew chooses to, as Janeway, kind of, I don't want to say code switch exactly, but she has a real like teacher in a film about a school in a bad part of town energy where she's like trying to get through to these people that like, you don't have to fight your way through life. We can really just unplug the enemy.
Yeah. She does turn a chair around and sit on it backwards when she's talking to this guy. So
yeah,
she does dangerous mind a little bit.
And also, you get to live in the mess hall until we resolve this problem.
Now enjoy this Coolio needle drop.
If you don't like the way I do things, I can leave you on the nearest habitable planet.
Back with Dr. Mark, he is proposing a subroutine transplant for one of the wounded. And Kajal is the Cardi in there, the Cardi female who's working with him. And she's caught his eye. I kind of feel like there's something going on here, didn't you?
Oh, did you detect tension between Kajal and Mark?
I mean, maybe in this moment only, because that is not realized at any point in the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't hook up or anything. That would have been an amazing subplot.
I mean, it would have been such an interesting thing to introduce, like, what is hollow intimacy? Like,
yeah.
What if they just blurp inside each other's bodies? Or
he plugs his USB into her socket.
And just like a human man. Oh, got to turn it upside down. I
got it wrong.
Got it wrong. I always get it wrong the first time.
Wrong hole.
They successfully repair this Klingon. They slap him on the ass and send him on his way. It's great.
Yeah.
The next patient, though, is a Starfleet, and she is in pain, and she's covered in blood. And Dr. Mark is shocked to learn that part of the programming is pain and blood. Like, the realism is a big, big part of this.
Yeah. The Banes didn't want to have a prey that wasn't suffering when they were being killed. So they programmed them to suffer.
You get 2 hours in this episode, Ben, and Donick has no regrets about this. This is one of my problems with this episode. Like, he's the creator of this thing and only seeks to rescue or turn off, but he never feels the guilt associated with the suffering that he's caused.
I agree with that, but I also feel like Donick has never in the room with it, you know? Like, I kind of wished that they'd found a way to get him over there with Dr. Mark, or to, like, have a scene with Dr. Mark where Dr. Mark realizes who he is. Because there's never a moment where somebody who has really, like, seen the truth of the situation, like...
You can't be haunted unless you're in the haunted house, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm two tall boys of cider and a big of mead in now. We only have 22 Jesus. Shots left.
Have you passed me two tall boys to one? I'm just finishing my Märzen Lager now.
I'm trying to follow I'm trying to do a shot a minute, man.
Well, I'm finishing. I just might finish slow. That's what he said.
I don't want you to get sick. Like, I'm feeling the kind of guilt that...
That Donick should have?
That Donick should feel.
You shouldn't feel any of that, Ben. I started the episode not feeling that great. Feeling worse, but it's fine.
Okay.
I'm gonna live out in the studio, maybe forever. This is what I do for this show.
Yeah.
Like, the show is important. People depend on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What else am I gonna do?
I mean, I feel like this may be the time when you finally pay back the debt you incurred by skipping that one Coco No-No.
You'll never let me forget that, Ben.
I'll be in debt forever. This is official. I'll never bring it up again.
What? That's all I had to do?
Yeah. Get yourself a real bad case of COVID.
I thought about calling in sick today, Ben. I thought about being like,
Hey, Ben. My wife is really sick.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Yeah.
Feel like I've caught it. This is what's happened. I don't think I can do the power hour today.
You think I was going to do that?
Wow. Wow.
No way.
You treat this job with a little bit more respect than you did your Costco job or whatever.
Wow.
I listened back to our thing where we were talking about calling in sick and I was suggesting plugging up one nostril. That sounded terrible. That didn't sound plausible at all.
It didn't sound believable. It made me wonder if you had actually ever done that.
Hell no. I'm no Ferris Bueller. I'm Cameron.
That's what I thought. You're putting up a good game. Being a guy who called out sick, you're a work sick, aren't you?
You think I've got Bueller Riz? The only time I'm truly happy is when I'm sick.
Yep. Hey, did you, you saw that, this is a local reference for a local audience. You saw that news report that Cameron crashed his car into a pizza place in LA?
Yeah, he crashed his Rivian like on Halloween, right?
Did you see that they boarded up the hole in that restaurant and they spray painted Save Ferris?
That rules.
On it.
That's great.
I just drove by it a couple days ago. It was amazing.
That is fucking awesome.
LA is undefeated for that stuff.
Yeah, that's great. So Mark finishes patching up all the hollows he can and goes to visit with Iden and finds Iden like in a Bajoran candle place praying. Like, I don't know what you call this. Shrine? What kind of shrine y'all got?
I mean, it's a real DS9 throwback to that Bajoran candle store that was on the promenade.
I haven't thought about that in years. And yeah, Iden's right there in the thick of it.
Hey, close your door if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk in on that.
No, that's nasty.
Roping his wax everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so sticky because it's wax.
Why do you have all these gym socks in here, Iden?
My spiritual beliefs are part of my programming.
Mark is like, okay, well, I did the thing you needed. Can you let me go? And learns a little bit more about Iden and like what his origin story is. Like he did not start at the training facility. He started somewhere else and has been like liberating training facilities as he goes. And, you know, he was radicalized by having to be killed over and over again by this one alpha and relive this horrible experience. But like he talks about like those other hollows that are rising up against their oppressors and how like they inspired him. And now he's all about that liberation lifestyle.
Try to imagine if this Bajoran leader was Ned Ryerson from Groundhog's Day, and he lived a life where Bill Murray's character just murdered him over and over and over again. That's the picture he's painting.
It kind of is.
It's not good.
Nobody in Groundhog Day remembers, though, right?
They do not remember what happens to them.
I have seen Groundhog Day many times, and yet I am constantly surprised by how charming it is, because I do not remember the plot points.
Every single time I get out Shazam and learn that is in fact Sonny and Cher on the radio.
And how charming is Andy McDowell?
Oh, I had to pour tall. Here's the thing with these 16-ounce cans.
Mm.
If you want to pour into a shot glass on your desk, you got to go from up top.
Oh, you're doing like a long pour, like a Spanish bartender.
I have to when I'm pouring Hot Summer Nights, the Raspberry Lemon Blonde Ale from Bald Man Brewing Company. This is my finishing move. This is the This is the tombstone pile driver to my sobriety today, Ben.
No kidding.
Cheers, guys.
Chin chin.
There are three things to remember about being a starship captain. Keep your shirt tucked in, go down with the ship, and do it.
Smooth.
So we got 15 minutes left in this power hour. Again, we've said this on past power hours. Don't try to keep up with us. Don't do this along with the show. We edit the show. You're not going to be synchronized. You're never going to be synchronized.
Yeah. Don't do this if you've got a special person sleeping off an illness.
Suffering in silence.
Yeah. Waiting for you to not bring her soup because that's not what she wants.
She's so thoughtful, though. She sent me soup when I had COVID.
I know.
Can I not send her soup?
You can't. That's what's so fucked up. It's the asymmetry of doting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not right.
Well,
anyway, this Bajoran leader styles himself as like a liberator. This is what he's doing. And he seems interested in revenge also.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you know, like we brought you over here because we wanted to liberate you from your oppressors. And Dr. Mark is like, what oppressors, man? Like, I like my crew and they respect me and it may have been a little bit uneasy at the start, but at this point, I do what I want, and I want what I do. And Iden's like, man, you fucking have no idea the gilded cage you live in, bro.
This is the thing about liberating. I've been doing the liberation in private for a while, but I'm ready to press the envelope here.
Ready to whip it out in public. And so we smash cut to like POV running panicked through the Sears Garden Center of Dr. Mark, and Bane's on the hunt, and Dr. Mark like hiding behind tree trunks and shit, and eventually meeting his extremely bloody and gruesome end. I think this might be the first time I can remember in a broadcast episode of Star Trek seeing like blood splatter into the camera like this.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's a brutal death.
You don't deserve to be taken as a trophy. So I'll let you die here.
It was exciting. It really felt dreamlike to me. Did it feel that way to you? Like, in the way that nightmares often unfold in a way where, like, you're running, but you can't escape. You're finally caught, but you can't break free. Like, I don't know. I have nightmares like this.
Yeah, you can't fight back because that chemical has come out of your brain that keeps your arms and legs from moving.
Yeah. And when those Banes get you into their arms, you can't break free.
I don't know why the scientists keep making them.
Yeah.
So he comes to, and it becomes clear that he's been schismed.
What sucks is, like, he's killed and also made fun of during.
Yeah.
That's hurtful, right? This Herogen is, like, making fun of what a coward he is.
Ugh.
It's a bad way to go.
And it, you get the bends, right? Because he comes to and he's like, why did you do that to me? And Kajala and Aiden are there explaining that, like, you know, we're all based on you. Like, the Herogen used you and your adaptability as a hollow as the inspiration for what makes us such tenacious prey.
Yeah.
And so, like, in a way, they kind of, like, lionize him.
You are not the greatest prey in the world. You are just a tribute.
They do say that.
That's tenacious prey, mm-hmm. Ben.
Yeah.
Just fucking lay it on me.
It's weird how there are two vectors of, like, irresponsibility happening here. One of them is what's his name?
Aiden.
But the other one is the doctor. Like, the doctor could feel some responsibility for this, right? If he's the original that these copies are based off of.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. He doesn't have any of the guilt trip that the captain does, just in the, like, technology sharing part in this episode. But he's like, you know, you made your point, but I'm still, like, super grossed out. And Aiden is like, okay, I'll give you back to Voyager. But they're talking about how, like, their real goal is we're going to build this, like, cellular network of hollow emitters on the surface of a planet and live somewhere where nobody will fuck with us. And, like, we'll liberate other holograms and, like, create a holographic environment where we can all live in peace. And he's like, that's great. Like, Voyager would be super down for, like, a weird project like that. We'll help. Like, what are you talking about? You guys are, you should have just asked.
This is always the first episode of the cult documentary on HBO, though. Like, this sounds so familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I can just hear the Caroline Polachek soundtrack to this starting right now.
I mean, the colloidal silver part happens at the end.
All right, man. We're in our end run. We are in the last 9 minutes of this power hour.
I'm finishing this last one. Like, even if I'm behind, I'm definitely the kid in the middle school gym class that didn't run the mile the fastest and maybe walked a lap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm finishing, though.
Okay. You feel free to not. I don't want you to get sick, man.
It's on the record that you have encouraged me not to do this. It is also on the record that I am doing this.
Okay.
Of my own volition.
I, Adam Pranica, of sound mind and body, choose to get COVID.
Who knows, man? I might already have it.
Yeah. It might already be inside your birdie.
Maybe hot summer nights is just the way to kill it.
maybe Hot Summer Nights is the hydroxychloroquine of of the Biden administration.
This is certainly what Bald Man Brewing had in mind when they gave us their free beer.
So this is like really intense cross-cutting here, because like we go from like Mark being like, you were so close to just getting the help you needed. Like, let's just go talk to Voyager and ask. And we cross-cut back to another like plenary session where they're working on the strategy for destroying the Hollows on Voyager. And so these two ships are like, you know, running each other down. And it's hard not to feel like a disaster.
Oh my.
A disaster is in the making. There's so few shots left to do.
It's so great. At this moment in the episode, it's like, you know how this is going to end, right? How all great cliffhangers on Star Trek end. The main deflector dish.
Yeah. So they're getting their deflector dish ready. BLT and Donick have 40 seconds to get it ready because they weren't expecting for the Hollows to be heading right for them. Like, they're closing the distance way faster than should be possible if this was a chase.
Yeah. A minute isn't enough time to make these preparations. And so Dr. Mark has hailed Voyager to tell them to stand down. Let's do some peace talks instead. You don't have to shoot anything at us if you don't want to, or if you're not prepared to.
I love Janeway being like, are you in charge now? Like, what the fuck, Dr. Mark? What are you fucking doing?
It's great. It's great because we're with her in that vibe. On into the conference room where Dr. Mark is doing the diplomacy.
This is one of the weirdest cuts to McLaughlin Group ever, because they have ratcheted the tension in this episode up so fucking high. And this would, like, if this was airing as a one-parter, yeah, you can't have a meeting at this point in the episode.
You just can't, guys.
You know?
I would love the hubris. The sheer fucking hubris of Star Trek cliffing a McLaughlin Group.
Issue one.
Big fun. If any show could do it, Star Trek Voyager could.
It could. They could have done it.
I'm going to encourage us to split this episode in two pieces. I think this should be the first greatest gen cliffhanger.
No kidding.
I think there's too much here. Too much to cut out. Let's do it.
Fuck, man.
What do you think?
How about new?
Could be fun.
I'm fully against it, but
wow. Gonna get into a great big argument about this one, I bet.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.